Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
One of the big stories, probably the biggest story in Chicago here this month, is certainly the Cubs in the World Series, something that hasn't happened since 1945. And Jim Mowry is going to join us now on the phone. And Jim, you were at games 5, 6, 7 of the World Series back in 1945, and you were there tonight, right?
I was.
Are you the bad luck charm, Jim?
Oh, I hope I'm not the new, I don't have a goat.
Obviously, it must have been quite a thrill. I thought that there was a great game, a great pitcher. It was strange how, with the wind blowing out as heavy as it was, not a single player for either team had a fly ball go to the warning track, and it was a very old-fashioned pitcher's duel, remnant of what you might have seen in 1945 more often.
Well, actually, it was a more interesting game than the last game, the seventh game in 45, because in 45 we were out of the game in the first inning. So I think it was two great strategists in that the two managers are the best.
So, Jim, why don't you walk us through how you got the tickets, how that all worked in 1945? Because you lived in the neighborhood, right?
I have 3736 Sheffield.
Wow, right there.
The owner of the Cubs, as I found out, left all these tickets available for people because he was really angry at the Tigers, because the Tigers left the gamblers take over their game in Detroit, and so he refused to go to Detroit to watch it. So he left the tickets available for the average
average Joe
citizen. I get a ticket without having to pay, and where the gamblers did not be able to take it over.
Yeah, the scalpers weren't able to raise the ticket prices.
How much were the ticket prices at a scalped price at that time?
I got an extra ticket for the game, and my brother thought he was going to go out and scalp a second ticket, and came back with a ticket that was only an hour and a half, came back and gave me a 50-cent profit. So, either he was a bad scalper or a terrible businessman. But, the owner, I think the owner of the Cubs was a great person. We were lucky to have him in the city, and that he really truly cared about the fans. So. And then the games, 5, 6, and 7, the sixth game was the most exciting because we had a lead. We had it in the bag, and we blew it in the eighth inning and allowed them to tie us. And so we went in extra innings and won in 13. So that one game was exciting. But the deciding game, the seventh one, he tried to use the pitcher for the fourth time, and Hank Baroe. And after three batters, he got three straight sharp hits. And before the first inning was over, we were behind 5-0.
Not a good way for a game 7 to start.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody use a pitcher in the way he did, although the Cubs only had 8 pitchers.
Wow. Well, yeah, this...
Because of that long game, that the extra inning game, he used up a lot of them, so we did the best he could.
Obviously, the war had a big impact on the World Series leading up to 1945 in the early 40s. And even still in 1945, even though the war was technically over, a lot of servicemen were just returning or still overseas. And in fact, that's the reason why you were at games 5, 6, and 7 is because, unlike today, where you go 2 in one stadium, 3 in the other, then back for 2 more, they did 3 and 4 because of travel restrictions, right? So you did 3 in Detroit, then the last 4 here in Chicago.
And we won 2 of the 3 in Detroit. So we came home thinking, wow, we really got this now. But, it just didn't work out that way. Because of the war, these people were coming back. One of them was that helped beat us in the series was a pitcher for Virgil Trucks for Detroit, who got out of the service 1 week before the end of the season, pitched one game before in that time and came back in the second game and pitched a complete game and beat us.
Wow.
And then the other star for Detroit, Hank Greenberg, got a the last game of the season. By the way, he had just come out of service at the end of July. And the last game of the season, he got a bases on a home run and beat the Browns, which would have been their only their second World Series. And he's the person that really came and gave us the hit that they needed at the right time. So, and the average age of the Cubs, I noticed on their roster, a lot of the players were born before 1910.
Mm-hmm.
Old team. Most of their players are pretty old.
Yeah, the exact opposite of this team. So I was wondering, Jim, because like right now, obviously, we talk about the drought from 1908 till now. But even like 1908 to 1945, that was kind of a drought already. Did people talk about it like that in the sense of, oh, boy, we haven't won in 30-some years. We should really do it this year, not knowing that it would add 71 more onto the top of that.
Well, the difference was that in the previous 16 years, the Cubs were in the World Series five times. They just couldn't win it. So never did at 45, they weren't going to think, well, we're going to wait 71 years to get another shot. So we had our chances. We just didn't do it in the series itself. But I don't think that as the years went by, it just kept adding on more and more and more. So then the Cubs became lovable because they were losing. But and the big difference between today with the Cubs, you've got a young team that I think is going to be around for a long, long time. A great manager. With the Cubs, within a year, they decided to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And in one case, their big star, Andy Pafko, eventually got traded to the Dodgers for about six or seven players, none of which did anything for us. Just one player stayed with us, a utility player, and he mixed us, but our star was gone. And if you go to, like, 1952, all they had left was Philip Cabaretta and no one else. And so we went through the long drought of losing without much to be excited about. Then came along Leo DeRocher in the 60s and
the College of Coaches.
We were in second place, I think, about five or six seasons in a row. But
wow. Couldn't quite do it. So what was it like tonight? What were your thoughts and reaction? Not only, obviously, about the game, just about being there for it.
I think just being there was a thrill. I don't know how many more years I could go. I'm 83 now, but it was exciting. It was exciting. I think the ceremony with that flag, I don't know if the people could really see it the way it was on television, but I went on the Who folded the flag afterwards. That flag had to be 300 feet long.
Yeah, yeah. They went into the tunnel with it all bundled up and rolled up. I don't know how they transport that thing.
I think every employee of the club must have been there, but it's strange to say that was one of the exciting points in the game, but we did have our chance.
Mm-hmm. I also, but you know, we were down 2-1 last series, so you're still keeping the hope alive, right?
I'm hoping. I'm never going to give up hope on them, and I think we can still do it. But we have to go back to all the way back to Cleveland, which puts a strain on us. But they better win tonight.
Yeah, they do. They do better. They had better win tonight. Do you mind hanging on the line? We have to take a commercial break. I just would love to chat with you a little bit more about what was the big differences between what going to a game was like in 1945 between 1908. You can stick on the line, right?
Surely.
All right, Jim. It's going to be more with Jim. And if you have any questions about what the World Series was like in 1945, call in now, 312-981-7200. All right, more on the way here at 720 WGN. WGN on this early Saturday morning. John Hanson here with Esmeralda Leon. The Indians are up 2-1 in the World Series over the Cubs, as you no doubt know. Jim Mowry has been keeping the faith for many years. He was at the last 3 World Series games back in 1945. And Jim, you were there again tonight, which was quite a thrill. And Jim, could you paint a picture for I mean, we know there was no Jumbotron. We know parts of the ballpark have changed with the advertising. But in terms of, like, going into the ballpark, like, what did the people look like? What was different between now and then?
Well, the number one thing was that the men came, there was more men than women, that for sure. And the men came dressed differently. There was a lot of the men that wore hats, of course, the hats of that period. And they all seemed to be wearing, or a lot of them seemed to be wearing a suit, which was would never happen today at the ballpark, that's for sure. The people, it was not the excitement where people were running around in the street like it was before the game.
Right.
They were just thrilled to be at a game, and they were just as loyal of fans and good of fans as now. But I actually think more of the people were baseball-wise. With the Depression having been ahead of time and the wartime, baseball was important to everybody. Most of the kids were able to tell you the batting average of every player. I see a lot of the people there tonight are all excited and good fans, but I don't know if they're as baseball-wise as the average fan was.
Jim, what was the area? You say it wasn't such excitement like it is now, but what was around Wrigley Field at the time?
Well, as far as I think it was on Clark Street where they're doing so on the east side of Clark. I think it was a coal company.
Really?
Back along there. Some tracks that crossed Waveland. I used to be able to remember the name of that company. It was there forever. It was there. There weren't many. There was a couple of restaurants or drive-in or places across the street on the west side of Clark. There was taverns up Clark Street, but not like today.
Not Sluggers, where you can go at, go and have in the batting cages.
No, not at all. And the key point, tonight was the battle of managers, I think. And I thought and hoped that the Cubs would get ahead by the end of the sixth inning.
Yeah.
We were afraid they'd bring in Miller.
Yeah, he's good.
So he brought in Miller at the time when he did. I thought, wow, we got to hope that he gets to the point where he gets pinch hit for. But the bottom line, when he needed it, he brought in his best man.
Yeah.
Where I don't know whether the manager would have done that.
Yeah.
He would have brought in somebody to do it, but not his best. And that Miller is impressive.
Yeah, and certainly none of the blame can go on the Cubs pitchers. Even Carl Edwards Jr., who gave up the pinch hit single to Coco Crisp. I mean, he's been great all season long. And when you give up one run, you should win more games than not. Jim, we actually have a question. Mike, you're on the line. Mike, what's your question for Jim?
Hey, Jim, are you the gentleman who sits behind home plate off to the right? With the green jacket and the pink hat?
No, I don't have that kind of money for those.
Mike, actually, you're actually talking about Jim Anixter is his name. It is a gym. It is another gym. So, but yeah, we're talking about pink hat guy. Actually, the website DNA Info did a whole profile on that guy. He's very, very wealthy. But, he goes to every game.
Oh, yeah, and he wears the pink hat and the green jacket so his wife knows that he's there.
Exactly, that he's not, that he hasn't run off somewhere else. Mike, thank you so much.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
You guys.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And I enjoyed the show.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And
why doesn't he take his wife to the game at that point?
I don't know. You know, it's interesting because, and Jim, you and I had talked about this. You're a young man still, but you're getting up there in age. And does it bother you that everyone stands up all the time? Because I love standing up, and I always get upset when people don't. But I guess I should take into consideration more that, not everyone wants to go up and down every single darn time it gets to two strikes.
Well, my seats were originally like five rows ahead on 226. So because of that, even years ago, I moved the seats back. And I can look up, and when all these people are standing up, and there's a little TV right above me, so I can watch the game when they do it. I can't do that. It's bad enough, the guys, that everyone. they get 20 beers. And we also sat with the four of the quietest Cleveland fans.
Really?
Yeah, they it was like they were afraid to stand up. Something was going to happen to them. But they drink this like the rest of us. They were in and out all the time, but they were nice. And when Cleveland's come to here to play us through the years, it hasn't been that many times, but their fans are great.
Yeah. I was in Cleveland this week, and I thought they were all very excellent. I think, you know, you've got that kind of the Great Lakes Midwest vibe going, and also a team that's had almost a drought. I mean, not as long as us, but, gosh, since 1948, that's not nothing to shake your finger at. They haven't won in a long time either, too. So if we are going to lose, and I hate to say it like that, but at least it's not the Yankees or something like that. It's a team that deserves to win a world championship. Basically what you're saying, Jim, is that 1945 people had bigger bladders and they were stronger. They're stronger willed.
Well, for me, that was easy in that I grew up in a depression with six sisters and one bathroom. I had the stronger kidney on the north side, but... I don't think, first of all, people had the money to even beer was cheap.
Right.
Everybody seemed to be in the same ballpark financially. And I tell you what else tonight. I got in there when the gates opened. I came in. I'd been around there all most of the day. Because it wasn't fun. There were a lot of people who were seniors, who were old. And I got out and talked with a lot of them. There were a lot of people who've been fans their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel nice that they picked me out and in the last couple of days they gave me a little special treatment. But there were a lot of people who came there who have a hard time walking up the stairs, and they wouldn't have been. They weren't just sitting there; they were cheering and doing the best they could. And they loved the Cubs.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I hope the same fans who are coming out all. These games with all their telephones. That I don't know. Some of these people go there and do their business at work or what. I hope that if the Cubs do go into a losing period, that these fans will still be fans.
Yeah.
Where we were willing to take the loser and love the Cubs. Really, it's been a great place to go to spend your day. A safe place. Cub fans are pretty friendly. You even had vendors, like there was one called Gravel Gertie who you could hear in the whole ballpark selling his products and all. and so they became legends. If I had a chance to get an autograph today, I would love to get Pat Piper's.
Yeah.
Who would want to get the announcer?
Pencils and scorecards ready, yeah.
For old people, you could change that backstop, that the screen that goes up, and put that where they protected people with the net that went all the way up to the top of the second, to the top of the ballpark. So when a foul ball came, the ball came down, and the whole ballpark went following it all the way down.
You know what's interesting, Jim, is, and obviously not every fan has this, and I think everyone should put their phones in airplane mode and just sit and enjoy the game and not have to get the latest tweet out there. Although I am guilty of it, too. I will admit I'll take pictures, and I'll, you know, especially on replays, I want to see what other people are thinking. But those stories and the legacies that you talk about, Jim, I think they do live on. And I think that through, like, people like me, there's plenty of other people out there that are just as big of fans that are my age. You know, I went to the games with my grandma. And my grandma would, you know, baseball is such a game where there's time to talk and there's time to tell stories. And she would tell stories of the screen. And now we kind of do that with the rooftop where if a foul ball goes up there, we wait to see if it's going to come all the way down. And if it does, Gary Pressey uses his finger down and goes down the keyboard. But I think those stories and those legacies are safe. And I just hope that people enjoy, you know, put their phones in their pocket and talk to someone who may have been to a lot more games than you have. And hear those stories. And I imagine, you know, people are probably asking you questions too, Jim.
Well, we always had coming up to us the hero that was going to save us. There was a guy, Milwaukee was one of my minor league teams years ago in a Germantown, and they had a player called Heinz Becker who was great for Milwaukee, and he was going to save us. Then we had Lou Novikov, the mad Russian. He was going to save us. And they came, and they all had great minor league records, but we just didn't have that Bryant that came along through the years. We had some, we made some great trades where we got Hank Sauer, who became, he probably could open a tobacco store with all the tobacco that every time he hit a home run, it was additional to fill left field, the field with free packs of tobacco for him. And so, and then even with our announcer Santa, where he went and jumped his feet. See, watch. I mean, these little things, they became part of the excitement, even if we lost. So, with this team, has that going for them. These young players are incredible.
And I think that the whole group of them, they will be the heroes to do it. I hope it's this year. This series is far from over, but they've got a lot of bright, hopefully, World Series ahead of us, and we don't have to wait another 71 years. But, Jim, you'll be around if it's another
71 years.
I don't know. We were talking about cats earlier on the show that are living to their 30s, so, you know, maybe you can make it to 150. Jim, thank you so much for your time today, okay?
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, enjoy the day, and let's go Cubbies, okay?